Text that is the background for that song that Pam was just offering us and just singing us comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 12. And that's where I want to invite all of you into is the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to John. We're going to start at verse 1, continue through verse 8. I'm going to read from a translation of the Bible this morning called The Message. This is a translation by Eugene Peterson. That's what you'll see projected, but you can follow along in your favorite translation. But hear these words from John chapter 12. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany where Lazarus was recently raised from the dead and was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those that was sitting at the table with them. And Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. And Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily bought 300 silver pieces." And he said this, not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. And I pray and ask, O God, that as our hearts come together, and as we meditate together, that, Lord, that you will truly speak to each and every one of us. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have shared with me. I pray that as I preach this morning, that the words that I share, that they may be pleasing, and that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who saves us. Amen. You know, there's something really interesting about this story that comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 12, this story, beautiful story, well-known story that emerges here. But at the very beginning, that 6 days before Passover, this is actually close to where we are. It's close to where we are in the calendar and surrounding us, is that almost to the day. Passover is this upcoming Saturday, and so we are almost to the day of this. But for Jesus, Passover is going to mark this moment that we will come together and that we'll celebrate next Sunday. It's going to mark this moment of Palm Sunday. It's going to mark this moment of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem. Now, for Jesus in this moment, that coming into Jerusalem, that will also, and almost as we gather and as we move through this journey of Ash Wednesday, it's almost that it's so embodied in us that we don't have to say it, but I do think it's important for us to remind ourselves that coming into Jerusalem is going to mark this moment for Jesus, and it's a week that we recognize and that we call, not only in the church, but throughout the world, as a week that we call Holy Week. But it will mark for Jesus, it will mark this time of his arrest, will mark his time of his trial, and also his crucifixion. But here, for Jesus, here in this moment that John is capturing for us in John chapter 12, this is 6 days before Passover, Jesus finds himself in the home of Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus. And Lazarus, who was thought to be dead not too long ago, Lazarus, who had already been placed in a tomb, had already been prepared for burial, Lazarus was thought to have died. And Jesus is told. Jesus is told about the death of Lazarus. And they come to Jesus and say to Jesus that Lazarus, the one that you love, the one that you care about, has died. And Jesus weeps over his death. And again, well-known story. You may remember this story, but Jesus weeps over the death. And he comes to the tomb, and where Jesus meets Lazarus at the tomb, he invites Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus is raised from the dead. And now, 6 days, 6 days before the Passover, they're together. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and Jesus is eating dinner around their table. Jesus is eating dinner around in their home and around their table. And Mary welcomes Jesus by anointing his feet with oil. It's an expensive ointment. It's an expensive oil, and it has such a strong fragrance that it fills the entire house. And this is where the story really begins to get interesting. Because what John does is not only tell us exactly what is happening and offering us a description of what is taking place in the house, but John helps us to see a little bit behind the scenes. But what is really interesting about this, and this is where the story does begin to get extraordinarily interesting, is Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, speaks up and says, why wasn't this oil sold? And why wasn't this money given to the poor? And even offers, and he says, you know, this is really valuable. This could have easily bought 300 silver pieces. And it's a question that is reasonable. It's a question that is rational. It's a question that you could even argue that would say that this is ethically an ideal way to care for the poor. It is an ideal way to reach out and to offer some care and support. And as Jesus would quite famously show and demonstrate in his own life, it could be an appropriate way to offer compassion for those who have nothing. For those who have nothing in their lives. Now again, it may seem rational. It may seem reasonable. But in this house, in this home, 6 days before the Passover, in this house and in this home with, again, Lazarus and with Mary and with Martha, this is not a home where just rational, reasonable decisions happen. This is a home that, well, when Jesus is part of it, that when Jesus shows up in a place like this, that at least for Lazarus, and at least for Mary, and at least for Martha, they're expecting something that is out of this world. They're expecting something that is going to take place that they have never experienced before. Something that is going to happen, that is going to change not only their lives, but it's going to change their world. You see, one of the interesting parts about this is that as Judas is offering this, as Judas is saying, couldn't this money, this costly ointment, this fragrance that is now filling the whole house, when Judas is offering and saying, couldn't this be used to be sold so that we could care for the poor? Notice that it's such a general description. The poor. Judas has not considered those families that are just right outside the door of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. Judas has not said that we could sell this money and we could use it for these particular people, this, that maybe we could help and encourage and support these people. It's just one of those statements. Well, couldn't we do this to just help the poor? Couldn't we just do this to help the poor? And yet, the one who has taken this ointment, Mary, and has massaged them into Jesus' feet, and has then wiped them with her hair, and now as the fragrance begins to fill the entire house, Mary has come to Jesus in an extraordinarily personal way. You see, the difference that John invites us to see in Judas and in Mary's lives is that while Judas is making general statements, Mary has come to receive Jesus as someone that is essential in her heart and essential in her life, and has made sure that as she has reached out and cared for Jesus in such a way, has made sure that her entire house is going to feel the presence of Jesus around them. Now, John will give us clues. Did you notice on this morning? John will give us clues along the way. Did you notice how John will invite us and say, well, for Judas, who was one of his disciples, and then, by the way, did you know that Judas is even then getting ready to betray him? You may remember this. You may remember that it is Judas that will betray Jesus on the night before he is crucified, that it is Judas that will go and he will offer the money that he has embezzled. And he will offer that money to those who can come and to arrest Jesus. And then another clue along the way. Again, John is inviting us to see this. Well, couldn't we sell this oil? Couldn't we give the money to the poor, is what Judas says. Oh, I've easily bought about 300 silver pieces. And then John jumps in and he says, well, Judas is really saying this. He's really saying this because he cared not 2 cents about the poor. Now, you may squabble with Peterson's translation about not 2 cents about the poor as he falls into cliches. But what John does say is because Judas was a thief. He was in charge of the common funds, but he also embezzled them. And then, probably the most interesting part of all of this section of Scripture is that then what John invites us to experience. And it is the words of Jesus. Let her alone. I mean, if we imagine in our own lives, we imagine in our own situations and our own ways, if we imagine, well, where we have maybe been overly extravagant, and those moments when we have been overly exuberant. There was a time in the life of United Methodist that we were always considered and thought to be overly exuberant. Several hundred years ago is when that was at. And that gets a laugh from all of you this morning. I'm trying. I will say I'm trying to lean into that. But yeah, sometimes it's hard for me to be overly exuberant. But yet we do know. We know all of us, and in our own lives, in our own experiences, we know what it's like to question our own intentions and question our own motives. Did I really give too much? Did I really waste that? Was it really a waste about what I did for? And we all have moments where we can fill in that blank. And this is where Jesus really does come to us in an extraordinarily special way and remind us, as Jesus does to Mary, leave her alone because she's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with me, but you don't always have me. You see what Jesus does, and perhaps this is the track that moves us into overly excited and overly exuberant, and even in the moments of wanting to anticipate, this is the pathway that Jesus invites us. That when our hearts are stirred, and that when we have it right in front of us, what would happen if we don't? What would happen if we don't worry about how much it's going to cost or how much of a waste it would be? What happens when we recognize that in this moment, that the presence of Jesus is so special, that in this moment, that the presence of Christ, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of those people that we love, lives that we have seen healed, people that are around us, that are sitting at our table, that we have seen who have been raised from the dead, people that have, and we have maybe even said to them, perhaps it's time to pull back. Perhaps when we find ourselves at that table and we know that the presence of Jesus is with us, perhaps, just maybe, if we do err on the side of giving too much. Of course we may be taken advantage of. Of course we may have regrets. But imagine Jesus whispering into our own ears. Imagine Jesus speaking into our own lives and reminding us to just leave whatever someone else may say, that whatever someone, the reaction that someone else might give, imagine Jesus saying to us, leave it alone, because you're anticipating something that's beyond this table. You're in honoring something that goes well beyond where we have gathered at this table. You're honoring that the presence of Jesus Christ is right here. That the presence of Christ is right here with us. And that just as Lazarus has been raised from the dead, well, you too can be raised from the dead. Just as Mary has been overly exuberant, has given too much, yeah, you too can give too much. And just as Martha has served, yeah, you too in your service can be pleasing to Christ. Yeah, the poor are going to be around us. But imagine what it is. Imagine what it would be like. Imagine what it would be like to be Mary, who recognized that Jesus Christ is here. And imagine, well, even worse, what it's going to be like in moments and places where that presence is not there. Imagine what would happen in our lives if we celebrated the moments when Jesus is present. Imagine how they would change if we celebrated around the table when Jesus Christ is here and we honored that. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do come to you this morning. We come to you, oh God, in all of our individual ways. We come to you with the ways that you have created us and the ways that you continue to shape us. And Lord, as we come before you, we pray that in our own service, that in our own gifts, in our own moments, Lord, where you have brought us back from the dead, we just pray and ask that you will give us eyes that we may see your presence around us and around our tables. Give us eyes so that we may see the presence of Jesus, Lord, with those that we love and that we care about. And Lord, most importantly, let us be mindful enough, oh God. Let us be mindful enough to know that you are in this place. And Jesus Christ, we pray and ask in your holy name to truly mark moments when you are present with us. And truly, oh God, be overly exuberant in our gifts and our honoring of you. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. And there is one moment that we do gather together as a church, and we invite all of us